What's it going to take for them to be able to retire? They're going to need to, number one, save. Number two, have earnings on what they've saved. And number three, they're going to have to minimize the deductions coming out of their accounts. We call that the three key drivers.
Don't conduct your analysis in isolation, because data is so incredibly powerful.
Not defending just the tribe, but defending the organization.
Those creative people that you really want to keep empowered, keep excited, keep motivated, keep thinking.
A good experience pays dividends down the line.
Stereotypes tend to break down in proximity.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast about human resources, business, technology, and the workplace. My name is Ben Eubanks, your host, and I'm so glad you're here.
Welcome to We're Only Human. I am Ben Eubanks, your host. And as always, I'm so thrilled you're here with us. Looking forward to learning alongside you today. I have a subject matter expert in the area of retirement plans and benefits in that world. And I'm so excited to have Chris Thixton here, because we're going to talk about some of the things that employers may not be doing the right way on that front, and some new and different ideas on how to think through this, how to really position this in a way that matters to your workforce. I mean, I'm building you up here, Chris. I'm going to give you all the checklist of things to do. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Ben. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So before we get into some of this good stuff, this nerding out on retirement plans and benefits in that front, would you take a minute and tell the audience more about who you are and what you do, please?
Absolutely. I am a principal with the firm Pension Consultants. We are a plan advisor. I exclusively work with plan sponsors and fiduciary committees who sponsor retirement plans. Specifically, we're focusing in on 401k, 403b plans.
Okay. So when you're not doing that, what do you like to do?
Oh, I'm a huge Kansas City Royals fan. I'm a barbecue nerd, and I like to hike. Give me a good ball game, some barbecue, and if I can hike there, that'd be even better.
You can hike there and have barbecue, and hiking probably doesn't go together very well. But after the hike is over with, barbecue is probably the best way to settle down, and you can watch a game. Perfect. All right. That's a trifecta for you there. Oh, wonderful. I'm glad to have you. I had a chance to meet you in person a few months ago in Tampa, and it was just a great experience, great event there. But also, I have so much fun getting to meet people like you and out in the world, because we were chatting a little bit there about this. I said, hold on. This conversation is too good. We're got to have it on a microphone so that the rest of the people out there can hear it, because I know that when I worked as an HR leader, like I had 1,000 things to do. And one of the things that was low on my list of stuff to spend time on was the retirement benefits that we had. And that's not because I didn't think they're important to our people, it's just because everything else is going on. And so I think a lot of people may be like that, where it gets a short end of the stick or the little bit of their attention they've got left. And I'm hoping today we can bring some of that attention, that focus back to that conversation. So let's kick it off a little bit. I'd love to throw this out there for you and see what you have to say. What do you think is a misconception that HR leaders have when it comes to their retirement benefits?
Okay. That they have a pretty good plan.
Okay.
You said short end of the stick, we move it off to the side. When I speak at conferences, after I'm introduced, I'll ask this question pretty regularly. I'll say, hey, just a show of hands, how many of you have a good plan? Everybody raises their hand, with the exception of maybe that one or two people, and you look at them and they're going, hey, listen, I'm new. I don't know what I'm doing. I was just told.
Can't speak for those yahoos. I don't know what they did.
But everybody else raises their hand. And then, like, well, what makes your plan good? And it's just crickets. It's deer in the headlights. They say, we've got good people on the committee. They meet regularly. We have these meetings. We have this material, those type of things. And I'm like, that makes a good plan. Now, think about this, Ben. Having long-term savings to cover expenses in retirement, like when you don't have a paycheck, is one of the three pillars of financial security. Money's the number one source of stress for Americans. But if someone's going to be able to retire on time, maintain their standard of living, right, have some dignity, what's it going to take? And when you start to engage people in HR and say, hey, listen, and they'll tell you, hey, we care about our people. Okay, what's it going to take for them to be able to retire? They're going to need to, number one, save. Number two, have earnings on what they've saved. And number three, they're going to have to minimize the deductions coming out of their accounts. We call that the three key drivers. That's not an elusive concept. But we believe that a 401k plan or a 403b plan should and can get people on track for retirement. But you name any study, Ben, anything out there that says most people are on track for retirement, and they're not. So first of all, we need to set the North Star of what the purpose of the plan is. And what is it from a fiduciary standpoint? It's to help people get ready to retire. Yes. Okay. Now, if I may, you said, where do they go wrong? Everybody raises their hand and says, we've got a good plan. We wanted to answer that question, couldn't find it. So we commissioned a study with the University of Missouri. And the initial study, 5,000 randomly selected plans from the Department of Labor's data supplier, BrightScope. It was academically defended. It was published in the Journal of Financial Planning and Counseling. So if you look at those three key drivers, I just this particular research study just focused it on number two, and I could talk on number one and three. But overwhelmingly, most plans don't hit objective standards. And you're just like, oh my word. And it's one of the great limitations we all struggle with. We're creatures of habit. We get used to doing something, we just stick with it versus coming back and saying, what's the purpose of this plan? Are we getting outcomes? Are we getting what people need to be able to retire? So at the end of these conferences, after I ask the question, now how many of you would raise your hand when you start to bring in objective data, KPIs, metrics to measure by that would objectively say, hey, we're helping people, as opposed to just anecdotally say we care about people and we raised our hand at a conference.
So in my mind, it sounds like you talked about some big picture things there. I think knowing the plan, if you don't, what is Zig Ziglar's, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And that's what that sounds like when you're talking about this. With someone listening out there right now, okay, Chris, I'm stepping on my toes a little bit. I should be looking at XYZ. What are those metrics? Is it like inflation rates? Is it savings rates? Is it like, what do those look like?
All right. So again, the three key drivers. Mm-hmm. Now, we could talk all day, talk about different amenities and features that retirement plans offer, right? And next year, the industry is going to come up with something neat to promote. Yeah. But three core things to measure. Number one, savings. You just said that. Mm-hmm. All right. So key driver number one is, what are they contributing? Number two would be the earnings aspect, the investments. What are the outcomes on the investment lineup that they have to use? So you want to measure the contributions. You want to measure the investment performance of the investment lineup, right? That's offered. And number three, you want to measure fees paid by the plan. See, the participants don't get to choose what the fees are for the plan or what the investment lineup is. That's done by the fiduciary committee. So you want to measure our contribution. Number one, you want to measure our contributions sufficient enough, right, over a 40-year working career to fund their retirement. Number two, are they receiving investment performance at a specific objective benchmark that they need to be able to grow their retirement? And number three, are their fees low, or is it at or below the industry standard? Because we know that high fees will eat up a retirement. Those are the three key drivers. If you're not getting those outcomes, your participants are going to suffer. Who cares about all the other amenities if we're not successful at those three key drivers?
That's super practical and very helpful. I hope everybody's listening out there taking some notes, because that's your sort of scorecard for how it's going right there. One of the things that occurs to me as you're talking, Chris, is I think about things like employee assistance plans, which are for mental health and those kinds of things, challenges that employees face. Like, the dirty secret in that world is that the utilization rate is often in the single digits. Like, no one actually uses those, even though employers are like, oh, look, we've got it. Any idea what the average participation rate is within a 401k or 403b plan across the spectrum? I know some industries are probably different. Some companies, some industries force you into it, things like that. Any idea what like the average participation rate would be for a company that has their employees in that?
Ben, I see that data. I see that data regularly. Yeah. And I need to be fact checked on this. But participation rates, see, again, what I would like to do, participation rate is not the key driver.
Yes.
Right? Because again, reason with me.
Force of habit.
If we had 100% participation, right? Oh, that's success. Everybody's participating. But what if everybody's saving 2%? It's not going to be enough. But these conferences and what I teach constantly is there's nothing wrong looking at participation rates. But set that down and make sure that people are contributing enough. And this one I do know, we're not even close to having a third of the people contributing enough to be on track for retirement. So we need to elevate on that first key driver. There's three, but on the first one, we need to elevate what people are contributing if they're going to be able to retire on time, right? Maintain their standard of living, right? Like I said earlier, have some dignity.
Yes, absolutely. This is interesting to me because I'm hearing this through my lens of, I was HR leader. I'm thinking through that lens, but I'm also, my father-in-law is retiring this week. As we speak, this is either today or tomorrow is his last day of work at planned in his life. He may go back and do something else part-time, but he's planning on quitting. And so for the last 6 months, he's, do you think I'm good? And I'm the money nerd in the family. So I'm looking at this with him and everything else, but I'm hearing what you're talking about here through that lens of, did he save enough? Is there enough there? Has he been earning enough over this time? Or is if he'd put it in something else that was underperforming or too conservative, then he would not have had that growth he needed to get there. And as you said, like the fees piece, if that was eating up a good portion of every year, then he'd need to work 5 more years in order to make that, all those things line up the right way to get them through that. So I'm thinking through that very practical lens too, not just the HR side of this, because this is fundamentally, it's a human problem. You said it earlier. It's hard to change behaviors. It's hard to get someone to do something different than they've done it before, whether that's saving for the first time or whatever it happens to be. Goodness. Okay. So I want to ask you something to piggyback off this conversation, because in the perfect world, we could either wave our magic wand or snap our fingers and make everyone start participating and get them in at the right savings rate. And they'd be coached into, okay, here's the types of investments they need to be in, all those kind of things. And yet it's hard to do that. So I'd love to hear from you. Before we can get people to participate, we have to get them to understand that it matters. So any recommendations or thoughts on how to make this relevant to the workforce? What can we be doing as HR leaders to communicate or to get them to see this as a today problem, not a someday kind of problem?
Certainly. I talk to HR professionals and they'll say, how do we make our education, our communication, our meetings more effective? And I always want to push the pause button. I understand the sentiment there, but is better communication, is a better meeting really what we need? What these employees need is to be able to retire, be able to maintain their standard of living. And when we give people things they may like, right? Hey, this is a cool meeting. It's a cool presentation. But when we give people things they like instead of helping them achieve what they need, we can play into the very marketing machine that the industry feeds on. Do we need to ask people whether they want to be able to retire? Mm-hmm. The vast majority of people are not proficient with 401ks. They've been around for 40 years. Well, we're going to teach you what a 401k is and how it works. Oh my goodness, stop it. Just stop it. Design the plan to accomplish the goal. What's the goal? To get people on track for retirement so that they can retire on time. We need to design the plans. We need to default for success. And here's something that HR folks are going to know, but one of the greatest provisions that have helped people without having them go through all the personalized education is the automatic features, right? Automatic enrollment, automatic escalation, right? People can opt out if they want. A lot of times HR people are, people will push back. Not really. Over 2/3 of plans have them right now. It's not. Inertia keeps people from getting in. And ignorance, not stupidity, but ignorance sometimes will keep people from making decisions to help themselves. We'll use inertia to help them by automatically putting them in the plan. Ben, it's not very sexy, but it gets the entire workforce moving in the right direction. Then you can pick up and help people fine-tune what they need to be doing individually, right? We have to understand human nature. Very few people go, I got this, or very few people go, give me some help. So most people are just like, I don't know. Take me by the hand and tell me what to do. Yeah. We're telling you that. Automatic features. It will help the population.
I remember the first time we were debating doing something with an automatic enrollment at New Hire, and we had leaders that were like, we can't be telling people what to do. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm not coming into their house saying, hey, you have to eat this for dinner, but to say, this is the benefit we're offering. And look, hey, everybody else is enrolling at this level, so this is what we recommend. That's a little different than forcing, as you said, forcing someone to do something or whatever else. And ultimately, if they start getting that paycheck, we're like, hey, yeah, a month into it, now let's reduce that. I don't know. But off the bat, if we get that going from the very beginning, there's not really a difference that they're seeing in their paycheck. It's easier to overcome that, I would imagine.
It's Ben, we're talking about culture. Do we care about our people? Yes.
Yes.
Financial security wreaks havoc in our workplaces, right? It's the number one source of stress. It affects people physically. It affects people mentally. Just look at the studies out there.
Yeah.
It does. So let's design this to accomplish the goal and just say, hey, culture, welcome. Welcome to work here at ABC Company. We care about you. So we've got this healthcare plan. We've got PTO. And guess what? We've got great retirement benefits that achieve this for you. And we're going to put you in. You don't have to stay in if you don't want to retire, but we're going to put you in and get you on the right track. Opt out if you want. But this is just part of our culture because we care for you. And for what it's worth, we're talking about long-term savings with retirement benefits, but Secure 2.0, you know, HR professional, Secure 2.0 is up and running. And there's an option to add emergency savings accounts to your 401k. This may be the most significant development for 401k plans since automatic enrollment. That addresses the short-term savings, right? Again, for financial security. But again, we're just thinking about the culture. We want to help people, right? And you said it earlier. If we set it up this way, and they get their direct deposit and they go, oh, here's how much I have left over. That's what they'll spend. Pay yourself first. So, you know, it's a culture. You know,
there's a great story that I read a couple of years ago, a study that was done over in like Norway, Sweden, that area of the world. And they had reached out to this behavioral economist and said, for some reason, we're having trouble getting people to be organ donors. It saves lives. It's a wonderful thing. People are not opting into that. We can't figure out what to do. And so he starts looking at the data. He says, wait a minute, you're the country right across the border, same sort of culture generally, right across the border. They've got a 90%+ opt-in rate and yours is in the single digits. Like, what's going on? And he looked, went all this studies, all this analysis, and he found there was one thing different. On the form, it says, check here if you want to opt out versus check here if you want to opt in. That was the only difference. And so that one little thing, as you're saying, like that's our brains naturally want to work on autopilot. It's how they're geared and how they're wired. And so in that case, we'll just default to on and they can turn it off if they want. And as they saw in that case, there's a percentage that will say, still, no, that's not for me. But overall, humans are just wired to go that way. So there's a lot of evidence, not just in retirement planning, but in other areas of science and of society that show us that let's get them going the right direction and they'll stay on that unless there's a really compelling reason for them not to.
Agreed. Absolutely agree.
Okay. All right. So someone's listening to this. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes right now. They're thinking, okay, I've got some good ideas. Chris is painting some great pictures for me. Like it's because Ben keeps screwing it up. It's not participation rate. Our outcome we're shooting for is not participation. Our outcome is a funded retirement for our people. Okay. So I've got that right. Finally, you educated me there. But what should they go do right now? If they pause the podcast for 5 minutes and go check a number or go and think about something or have a conversation with a key leadership person, what's the one thing they could do right now to start moving that in the right direction?
Okay. So first of all, is there a declared goal? Ben, we all know, we'll stand around at a conference in between sessions and we'll talk about it. We know that a retirement plan is to help people prepare for retirement. But when it comes right down to it, when we get at that particular company, is that goal clearly stated? Because as committees turn over, people come in and they turn over, they have to be re-educated or refocused to the goal. This is our goal. Is there a goal stated? Our goal is we want a plan that gets people on track for retirement. All right. Then the second thing is, what are your KPIs? What are the metrics, the objective standards that you're reviewing on a regular basis so that you know when you achieve it you've got a plan that helps the employees get ready to retire. That ties back to those three key drivers. Just ask that question. It's amazing to me the amount of companies that they get a big 80-page report and it has all of this data, all of this shiny stuff, and it can be so distracting that we miss our goal, all right? Do we have transparency? Do we have transparency on the outcomes that we need? And then ask this question, who's accountable to make sure we accomplish that? And so everybody's pointing in a different direction, and who's accountable? That's where you'd start. And if those questions can't be answered, it's probably time to start then peeling off some additional layers and finding out someone that can actually help lead, help drive, that has experience to say, you want this accomplished? Let's do that. Think about this. Wouldn't you like to be able to recruit people to your company and say, man, we've got this great retirement plan. It's very elite. Less than 20% of the companies in the country achieve this level of success. You turn it into a distinguishing feature of your compensation package based on objective results, not based on subjective or how you feel.
Okay, I love that. I think that's a great set of call outs there and reminders for people listening in, some things you can go do. Very practical. I was hoping today would not be just up in the clouds, but really practical. And it's been almost nothing but practical, like really nuts and bolts. Go do these things, because many of us don't. We haven't thought about that. We put a plan in place. We check that box. We move on. And it's just one thing laying out there to keep, you know, managing over time. But we don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. I remember the one time we had an employee ask about, hey, are these the only options we have for 401k? I was like, no one's ever asked me before. I don't even know. And just having that awareness of what those choices are and how they were set. And I should have been more prepared to have that conversation and say, yes, we've evaluated. There's 47 options. We narrowed it to these 20. This is the ones that we have available. But I couldn't even answer that one. So there's some encouragement for you out there that if you don't feel like you've got it all buttoned up and you're all on top of it and squared away, you're not alone. There's a lot of organizations probably in the same spot. But as you're hearing from Chris, go get on it. Don't wait. Don't say next year. Well, no, go get started on it, because today's the day. So Chris, I'd love to hear from you. Talk about, can you give me a practical example? You don't have to give me company names or anything, but like any company, a company you've worked with has had a struggle with this and how they've overcome it or how they've changed these metrics themselves. What does it look like going from good to great? Maybe, if that's a good way to put it. I'd love to hear what sort of experience you've had on that front, because I want someone to hear what that looks like as a company transitions from, oh, we probably should focus on this too. Now it's a priority for us, and here's how we're putting that front and center.
Okay. One that comes to mind, and I think it lines up with what you just asked me. After presenting at a conference, this conference had HR people and finance.
Okay.
But this person that came up to me after the conference was actually a VP of finance from a manufacturing company. Super sharp lady, super sharp. And she shared with me how much pride that they take in their benefits. And her HR person was there as well. And so I asked her, I said, why? And she said the company really cares about their employees. And I wondered if that was just her position. So I said, does the entire executive team care? And I'll never forget her response. She says, oh, you have no idea. And I said, now, when I asked that question, I said, do you have a good plan? You raised your hand. And she said, yes. And I asked, I said, do you use objective industry standards to measure the key drivers that will determine whether your people are able to retire? You care about them. And she sat there and she goes, no. Now, the interesting thing here, Ben, is this was early in a calendar year. Nothing on her quarterly priorities, nothing on her annual priorities, which her bonus was tied to, had anything included with the 401k plan. But she heard the research, right, that most plans don't hit the standards. And she put her foot down and she said, on behalf of every employee that works at this organization, they took the initiative to help the employees by embracing a way to actually achieve that goal. And because one of the things we talked about is if you're just off, people go, we've got a good plan. We're not hitting the standards. We're just a little bit off, right? That's not a big deal. But say you're just off on a couple of key drivers by 0.5% most people in a conference say, not that big a deal. But if you just look at the math, that can mean that an employee depletes their assets in retirement 9 years sooner. That's real. I don't deal in salary that you pay somebody today. I deal in deferred compensation. 9 years is significant. And she made the time just to do the right thing because they care, but they had to commit some time and energy to change their focus. And they did. And they went from not hitting the standards, right, to hitting the standards. Their plan became a verified, quote unquote, verified distinguishable feature of that comp plan. They're very proud of it. And they promote it. And their employees are like, wow, you really care about us.
You've said this before already once in the conversation, and I want to call it out again because anyone listening in here, you care about your people. If you didn't, you wouldn't be, you'd be listening to something else right now. You would not be spending time trying to sharpen yourself up. You do care about your people. And so hearing examples like that where this leader says, you know what, you're right. On behalf of every person here, we have not done as well as we should have. We're going to step it up. I think that's an encouragement to me to hear that example because any of us could get too busy, get too focused on other things. It's not on our list of priorities. And if someone doesn't tell us it is, then it's not going to be. And saying, no, I'm going to take the initiative to put this on my list of priorities because it is that valuable for us to make sure we're taking care of our people. I want our employees 20 years from now, 30 years from now, or 10, depending on how old they are, right? I want them to say that the team there made sure I was ready for this retirement, made sure I was going to be ready to take care of myself, my family around me, when it was time to step out of the workplace versus, wow, why didn't someone tell me this? I had no clue. And now I've got to try to figure out how to make up the shortfall. That's a very different sort of prospect and proposition for those individuals. So I really love that story. Man, I've enjoyed this so much. If someone wants to connect with you, hear more about what you're doing, learn more about how you work with companies, you okay with they reached out to you on LinkedIn?
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. I'll make sure and get that into the show notes so someone can click right over. Let Chris know you heard about it on the podcast so he knows you're not just a random spammer. And he'd love to connect with you, chat more. He's super awesome in person and apparently here as we're recording on Zoom as well. So thank you, Chris, for spending some time with me, for giving the encouragement to the audience out there, reminding them, yeah, you care about your people and this is yet another way you can do that. That's the big message for me, the big takeaway as well.
Ben, it's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
100%. To everybody else out there, take those notes that you've gotten from this conversation today and go put them into practice. Go out there and serve your people well, including on their retirement benefits. And we'll catch you again next time on We're Only Human.
Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'm honored to have you as a listener. If you enjoyed this episode, please take 10 seconds to rate it at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, if you know a friend that could benefit from today's conversation, please pass it their way. After all, a rising tide lifts all ships. To see show notes, sponsor information, and our full show archives, visit onlyhumanshow.com.